The Maclean Dome, like the Kensington Dome, was built in 1912 when Sir Norman Lockyer established the Hill Observatory. He had always wanted to build an observatory on a hilltop in order to avoid the mists and fogs of lower ground. He couldn't have known that in East Devon, due to its closeness to the sea and the prevailing wind, the mist tends to form on top of the hills. The Maclean family were a very wealthy family who made their money through civil engineering projects. They lived in a house called Rustall in Tunbridge Wells, which is where Frank Maclean, a noted amateur astronomer, had installed this telescope. The family home no longer exists, but its size can be gauged by the fact that a whole suburb of Tunbridge bears its name. The Macleans and Lockyers were well acquainted, both in the field of astronomy and aeronautics. Francis Maclean had attended one of Sir Norman's courses in astronomy at the Royal College of Science, where Sir Norman was Professor of Astrophysics, and James Lockyer and Francis had taken part in balloon races over London. When Sir Norman established the observatory, Francis Maclean gave him his father's telescope, and his brother William designed the two domes, which are now nearly 100 years old. The telescope was made in Dublin by Grubb, who built a number of similar telescopes that were spread around the world in order to produce a complete star atlas known as Le Carte du Ciel. Like the Kensington telescope, its enormous size is because it uses lenses to gather the light from celestial objects. Unless a compound lens of long focal length is used, any object if viewed would be surrounded by a rainbow fringe, clearly not the thing for astronomical observations. Reflecting telescopes collect light with curved mirrors, and because the light is reflected from a surface, no rainbow fringes are produced. This is why reflecting telescopes are much smaller than instruments such as the Maclean. The tube of a reflecting telescope with the same diameter as this one is so light that it can be lifted with one hand, compared with the 2 tons of the Maclean. Both telescopes have their place. The reflecting telescope is ideal for looking at large celestial objects, such as nebulae and galaxies, whilst the refractor is ideal for viewing the moon and the planets. They are perfect for studying double stars. On one occasion, using this telescope, we were able to see in the constellation of Gemini the bright star Castor. As we increased magnification, the star took on a dumbbell shape, and eventually at a magnification of 800, it split into 2 stars. The stellar partner is only 1.8 arc seconds away from Castor, which is some achievement for a telescope over 100 years old. For the record, 1 arc second is 1/3600 of a degree, which in itself isn't very big. As you can see, the Maclean telescope has 2 tubes, a 12-inch photographic tube which was originally fitted with a large glass prism capable of splitting starlight into spectra from which the constitution of the star could be deduced. The other tube has a 10-inch object glass and was mainly used as a guiding telescope, keeping the larger tube pointing at the same spot during the long exposures needed to capture the stellar spectra. The telescope is set on a particular object using engraved scales. The one showing the elevation of the telescope is viewed through a small telescope, while the lateral movement is shown by scales on the end of the telescope's main axis. When the East Devon District Council purchased the observatory in the 1980s and put Sidmouth and District Astronomical Society in charge, it was first thought that the lenses of this telescope had been sent off for polishing. In fact, they had been stolen to turn up, we think, at an auction in America, where they fetched a fraction of their true value. Because of this, the telescope was dismantled and sent off to Newcastle for a complete rebuild. This included the replacement of the original clockwork drive by an electrical motor. Since its return, it has been in regular use. One high spot came in 1994. The telescope had been equipped with one of the very first digital cameras available to amateur astronomers. It worked through a computer, which was the best we could buy, and boasted 180 megabytes on its hard disk, a fraction of the data storage of today's mobile phone. Nevertheless, we were the first observatory in the country to photograph the collision of the comet Shoemaker-Levy with Jupiter. Not that we were any cleverer than the others, we were the first place to have a clear sky. We continued to photograph the phenomenon for a number of weeks, even photographing Jupiter in daylight thanks to the accurate setting circles of this telescope. No description of this dome and telescope would be complete without mentioning its donor, Francis Maclean, or more properly, Colonel Sir Francis Maclean. He was co-founder of this observatory and was a member of the governing board, but his real claim to fame was in the field of aeronautics. He had taken up the sport of ballooning, but became convinced that powered flight was the future. The government of the day thought that lighter-than-air dirigibles held the key. Francis contacted the Wright brothers and built one of the country's first airfields on the Isle of Sheppey in the Thames estuary. Anyone interested in building aeroplanes could set up their workshop at a nominal rent. This brought a team of cabinet makers from Battersea. They had made equipment for the balloonists. These were the Short brothers, who would go on to become major aircraft builders. Flying training went on, and Francis received pilot's license number 11. James Lockyer learned to fly at the same time. Still, the government remained unconvinced. So, in 1912, Francis flew his float plane up the Thames estuary, under the walkway of Tower Bridge, and then taxied under all the other bridges, finally coming to rest outside the Houses of Parliament. The Royal Navy, if not the government, was convinced, and Francis purchased aircraft and set up a training school for naval officers. With the First World War, flyers from the Isle of Sheppey flew to France with the aim of destroying the German Zeppelin sheds. Both Francis Maclean and James Lockyer were officers in the Royal Flying Corps, which eventually split into the Royal Air Force and the Royal Naval Air Service. With the end of hostilities, flying was not forgotten, and an airstrip was laid out in the grounds of the observatory, roughly where our main car park is today.